Today we bring to a close this series that I've called Thrive Spiritually, as we come back to this word thrive that's been part of our theme through the whole year. We all want to thrive in life and in different areas of life, whether it's emotionally or vocationally. We're going to think later about thriving emotionally as well. So all those things are at work in our lives, but we've said that thriving is participating in what God is doing in the world. And in many ways, because of that, this series is right at the heart of the whole year-long project, because if we're thriving spiritually, that really is how we get to know what God is doing in the world. And so we've talked about first, Neil opened the series talking about prayer. That's where we communicate with God. We talked the next week about listening to Scripture. That's how we listen to God talk to us. And then last week, I talked about how we need connections with other people because that helps us to grow spiritually. Now, in some ways, all of those things were like steps we needed to take to grow, to thrive spiritually. Today, I want us to think about overcoming a barrier to thriving spiritually, one that really is important, one that's powerful, one that keeps us from God. I want us to think about how we deal with the barrier of our own sin as we are trying to thrive spiritually. Now, I can remember, especially early on in my ministry, people would come up to me, and I was a young preacher, and they'd say, "Preacher, you need to preach more about sin." Now, I don't know how much I preached about sin back then, but they thought I needed to do more, okay? And I always got the impression that what they were really saying to me was, you need to be more active in condemning the sin in the world, out there, right? It never was, we really want you to help us overcome the sin in our own lives. It's we want you to talk about the sins that other people are committing out there, so we feel better about ourselves and they look really bad. We don't really want you to talk about the stuff we're doing because that's uncomfortable, right? But the truth is, whatever our sin is, it separates us from God. Sometimes we think about those sins and we look at the list that we find in Scripture. And what we find is that right in the same list of sins, things that separate us from God, we'll see murder and adultery and stealing jam up against stuff like greed and gossip. And I think a lot of times those people wanted me to talk about murder and sexual sin and stealing and not so much about greed and gossip, because we might be guilty of those things. But the truth is, whatever our sin is, it still separates us from God. Now, the way we often think about that, and this is valid, it's important, is that our sin can separate us from God for eternity, right? I mean, our sin has a penalty, and that's the whole story of Jesus. Jesus came to overcome the power of our sin because our sin would lead us to destruction. And Jesus wanted us to be in the presence of God for all eternity, worshiping Him. And so Jesus paid the price for our sin. And then it's up to us to respond to that. Now, that's an important way to think about sin. But sin is at work not just for eternity, but for today. I mean, if our goal is to thrive spiritually, and yet we have this active sin going on in our lives, it is separating us from God. I'm talking about even as Christians. Even as people who have said, yes, I believe in Jesus, I confess Him as my Lord, I've been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin, and even though all that's happened, I'm still struggling with this sin. In fact, maybe it's more than a struggle. Maybe I've given up the struggle against that sin, and I've just jumped in because I don't want to fight it anymore. So even as followers of Jesus, sometimes we choose sin, and that sin is always going to create a separation between me and God. Yes, for eternity, but for today too. And we feel that distance from God because we're involved in something that we know God has said, you shouldn't do that. That only leads you to problems. That's objectionable to me. And when we keep pursuing that sin, we are separating ourselves further and further from God for the here and now. And so there is no way we can thrive spiritually, because we're saying, you know what, God, I know what you say about life, and I know what you say about me, and I know what you say about some things that mess life up, but, you know, I think I know better. I think I can handle it better than you, God, and so I'm choosing my way over your way. How can we draw near to God if that's the life that we're leading? So I want us to think about how we deal with that. And today we're going to look at a couple of passages. The first of them is found in Matthew chapter 4. It's right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We've had the birth narratives, and we've had a chapter that deals primarily with John the Baptist and John's ministry and what John was doing. And then we jump into Jesus' ministry, and this is how Matthew describes it in chapter 4, verse 17. Very briefly, he says this: "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" There's two things that John said, that Matthew says that Jesus is preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Let's take the second one first. The kingdom of heaven, sometimes in Mark and Luke, it's called the kingdom of God. It's the same thing, okay? And what we're talking about is God's reign on earth through Jesus. The fact that through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus is crowned king of all things. You read Paul's language in Colossians and Philippians, and it is clear that Jesus is Lord of all. And that's going to be fulfilled when Jesus returns. So the kingdom is at work even now. And even though the world is messed up in all kinds of ways, what we know is that the kingdom of God is at work among God's people, among us, in the church, sort of operating in the world, showing people what it means for God to be in charge. So Jesus is saying that's on its way, and it was. But he says, since it's on its way, you need to repent. And maybe we go, what does repentance have to do with the coming of the kingdom? Well, we know if we look back in the Old Testament, what we find is all kinds of prophets calling the people of Israel to repentance because they had rejected God's way. So they understood that repentance is being part of what God is doing. And I think that we need to hear that same message, that if we are actively engaged in sin, that sin is going to have its effect on our relationship with God. And if we want to be part of what God is doing in the world, if we want to be part of God's lordship through Jesus Christ, if we want to participate, in other words, in the kingdom of God, we got to deal with our sin problem. Now, does that mean we've got to be perfect? Well, I don't think so, because we know none of us are perfect. We know even the greats throughout Scripture were not perfect, and yet God could use them. So if repentance isn't about being perfect, what's it about? Well, repentance at its core means to turn. It's all about direction. It's going through life and recognizing, you know what, the path I'm on leads to one thing, destruction. It leads to all kinds of bad things, and I am recognizing that if I keep going down this path, it's further away from God, it's further away from where I need to be, and I don't want to go that way. And so we turn and change direction. In other words, we acknowledge once again that Jesus is Lord, and that we are under the lordship of Christ rather than under our own lordship. We don't get to decide everything. And we are choosing the way of Christ over our own way. Yes, we're going to mess up sometimes. But we're saying, I recognize that the sin that's in my life is messing things up, and I've got to do my very best. I've got to change the direction of my life so I don't keep walking that way. I walk in a new way. That's repentance. And Jesus is saying, if we want to participate in the kingdom of God, in what God is doing in the world, then we've got to repent. I think that teaches us that repentance prepares us for participating in what God is doing. Now, another passage that I think is helpful on this. It's right at the beginning of the church. First passage is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. The second one is right at the beginning of the life of the church. Acts 2 is the birth of the church on the day of Pentecost. Acts 3, Peter's still preaching. And he's telling the people in Jerusalem, listen, you have killed the Messiah. The one that God sent, the one that fulfilled all the prophecies, you have killed him. And he says this in the middle of all that in Acts chapter 3, verse 17. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. In other words, you didn't recognize who Jesus was. Now, you should have, because he told you, but you didn't pay attention. Verse 18, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. So, God knew this was going to happen. The prophet said the Messiah is going to suffer. Now, people didn't get that, but he did, and we know that the Messiah not only suffered, but died on the cross, raised from the dead. Then this, verse 19. Repent then, and turn to God. It's all about turning. So that your sins may be wiped out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Peter's saying, listen, if you want to participate in what God is doing in the world, you've got to repent. And only then can you experience what he calls a time of refreshing, the Messiah's work in your life, the Messiah's work in the world, and ultimately the return of the Messiah. It's all wrapped up together, this life and eternity, all wrapped up in whether we want to repent or not, whether we want to turn from the way we've been living and live in the new way. Even as Christians who don't always get it right, sometimes we have to say to ourselves, this has got to be different. So, as we think about those two verses, Jesus' call to repent, to be involved in what God is doing, Peter's call to repent, to be involved in what God is doing, what does it teach us? I think it's this, that repentance paves the way for growth. If we want to thrive spiritually, repentance is what we've got to do. Now, sometimes we think repentance is feeling really guilty about something. Or repentance is maybe apologizing. Those can be part of repentance. But when we see this word in Scripture, we need to be reminded over and over again that it involves actual change in the way that we're living. It is not just a feeling. It is not just a thought. It is a change in action. And repentance then prepares the way for us to grow in our relationship with Christ. Our repentance allows us to thrive spiritually. Now, here's some things that I think we can do to help us grow in that sense of repentance. First, repentance acknowledges that sin separates us from God. When we repent, we're saying, okay, listen, I know I'm on the wrong path, and it's so wrong that I'm walking directly away from God. And because of that, my relationship with God is suffering. And I've got to make this decision to turn around and follow God. So we're acknowledging that sin leads to destruction, both now and for eternity. We're acknowledging that sin separates us from God, both now and for eternity. So it's a change in mindset. Because when we're actively engaged in a life that we know is unacceptable to God, we are saying, I don't care what God thinks. Repentance says, I'm going to acknowledge what God has commanded and change the way that I think. Second, repentance prepares our hearts for God's leading. That's why Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of God is coming. Because when we change our minds, our hearts, and our actions, we are prepared to be involved in what God is doing. It gets us in the right spiritual and emotional state to be involved in what God is doing in the world. So if we're going to thrive, repentance is one of the very first steps. And it may be a step that we have to take more than once, because again, even as followers of Jesus, we may recognize multiple times through our lives, you know what? This is not the right direction. I'm not going in the right place. And if I'm going to be involved in what God is doing in my church, in my community, in my family, then something has to change. And I've got to deal with that barrier to thriving spiritually that is my own sin. So it prepares us to participate in what God is doing. And then third, repentance allows us to make things right in relationships. You know, so often our sin, it definitely affects us, right? It affects our relationship with God, and so repentance allows that relationship to begin to heal, but so often our sin has an effect on the people around us. And maybe it's people we go to church with, maybe it's our coworkers, can certainly be our family. In fact, our sin can often hurt the people that we love the most. And so when we choose repentance, we're saying we value those people. We're saying that we're not going to do just what we want to do and forget their needs, their wants, their desire for a relationship. Instead, we're pursuing what God wants, and through that, caring for the people around us, showing the same kind of love that Christ showed on the cross. And so it allows those relationships to be healed. Because repentance says, you know what, I'm sorry for what I've done, but it's more than that. I'm going to change. I'm going to live different in the future. We're saying to the people around us, listen, if what I'm doing is making life miserable for you, I want to fix it. I want this to be better. And so we choose a different path. And then clearly repentance reorients our lives. It makes us change how we think about what we're doing. It makes us change what our goal is. Is my goal to get what I want out of life, or is my goal to serve Jesus Christ? That's going to change our actions. And so our lives are reoriented because we have chosen repentance. You know, it reminds me of, you know, the days before we had a phone that had a map on it and told us where to go, right? And we had to actually, you know, unfold a map and try to find our directions in a place we didn't know. And we'd be going along and then suddenly realize, you know, I don't think this is where we're supposed to be, right? I think we either missed a turn or took a wrong turn or something. And we might just be tempted to go a little further and hope that we recognize something, right? Or that we recognize a way to get back. We don't really want to just turn around because that seems like it takes too long. We're going to be backtracking. Surely there's a way to cut back over and get on the road that we need to be on. And so we just keep going and going and getting further away from the path we know we're supposed to be on. And what we just need to do in that moment was turn around. And that's what repentance is. It's saying I'm on the wrong path. I just got to turn around. Because then and only then can I be with the one who created me and wants me to know him, God himself. Let's pray together. God, we know we're all sinners. We don't get it right all the time. Sometimes we willingly choose what we know to be wrong. And so, God, we come before you today asking for forgiveness of those sins, but also wanting change. Because, God, we want to thrive in our relationship with you. We want to know you. So, God, help us to change. We know for so much of this, we can't do it on our own, so we ask that you would be with us and help us in that. And God, we pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look in Scripture and people ask, okay, what do I do to follow Jesus? Called to put faith in Jesus Christ. to do what we've talked about today, to repent of sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and to be baptized into Him. And if you've been thinking about that and you're ready to make that decision, we would love to know about it. We'll walk right with you as you walk that path and help you as much as we can along the way. If you've made that decision, let us know. Come forward as we stand and sing our invitation.